Tag run at second. The 3-2 pitch. Bichette swings and he hits it. High and deep. Out to left field. A Rosarena in front of the wall. He jumps. It's gone! It's gone! Bo Bichette delivers! A go-ahead two-run homer here in the eighth inning. Bo Bichette strikes again. What kind of magic ride is this man on?
I mean, Bo thrives on competition, and he thrives on being great. And I think he understands, obviously, how well he's going right now. But I don't think he needs anything extra. He doesn't need to put any extra pressure on himself. He wants to be, you know, the guy up in a big moment. He wants to dictate his at-bats, and I think he's just doing that right now. And really good players do really cool things like that tonight.
Bo Bichette, 1. Tampa Bay Rays, 0. They're calling it September, and we're seeing it live. Hopefully he'll be the same for Bo-tober. Yeah.
Is it September or Bo-tember?
That's a great question.
Sense, actually.
5-9, 5-9.
Yeah, let us know.
Which team of Bo owning September are you on? It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's Haley Salvian and Ailish this morning. Coming off an electric night for the Toronto Blue Jays. What a way to kick off a very, very, very important homestand against the Tampa Bay Rays. And they just jumped right over them in the standings. Four more doubleheader today. Four more games against a team that was red hot, has been red hot, coming back from the All-Star break, but find a way to win. You really had Bo Bichette leading the way once again. Everything that keeps happening with Bo Bichette, you think, well, how much more can we see? What else is there for Bo to do? He got AL Player of the Week yesterday. He comes in, he delivers once again. There's just a level of confidence, an air around Bo Bichette that really, like, he's got to be the hottest player in baseball. I know there's kind of question marks around that. Oh, okay, you got Aaron Judge, you got Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani. No, it's September, and we're living it.
I think September is great. I mean, Mike Trout had 7 home runs in the last 7 games. That's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, but that team
sucks. Yeah, you know what? It's fine. I think the impact of Bo Bichette on the Blue Jays, it's just, I don't even know how you're supposed to kind of tie that up, wrap it up, talk about it in a succinct way. Mm-hmm. It's just, we heard it on the call, like, what kind of magic ride is this guy on right now? Like, I would like to know. Sounds pretty great. It looks great. I think the end of that game, I mean, the context too of Bo coming in, it's a 7 pitch at bat. What, two innings after 97 mile per hour pitch almost hit him in the face.
I think it kind of still did. Like, I
grazed his wrist and it looked like it hit his helmet. But I was sitting on the couch watching it and I was like, I yelled at my television.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I saw my life flash before my eyes.
Oh my God. You know who summed that up pretty well?
So did I.
Yeah, I think everybody watching didn't enjoy the look of that. He was extremely frustrated, deservedly so, after that. But the composure to be able to literally almost lose your face, walk to first, gain that groundedness, come back in a huge spot on a 3-2 count against one of the league's best relievers.
Mm-hmm.
Clutch timing. There's just, I don't know if you saw Bo Bichette coming up to the plate and thought, oh, like, this is a lock. I didn't really know what to expect after getting that type of play on your last at bat, but that's what leaders do. That's what players that are hot do. You find a way. That team found a way yesterday. And it's all led by Bo Bichette. There's just nobody else right now that is even in this solar system with how Bo Bichette is playing. And I think if you look at the whole season as a whole, and we've been talking about this slump and at times questioning his future with the Blue. Like, yeah, we're all going to eat our words on that. I think a lot of people are deleting tweets. Mm-hmm. I know. I always thought Bo Bichette was great and the Blue Jays should keep him. It's fine. Like, that's the game. That's sports. People are going to turn it around. And he's turning around at the prime time to be doing that. And that is exactly what you want in your young studs that you're about to pay, hopefully, a lot of money.
Well, it's all about what are you doing for me right now? And I think some of those takes were early in the season, middle of the season, when it's like, where is the Bo Bichette from last season? What's going on here? And I think it's always easy to play revisionist history or play these games, but we're in a lot of those conversations like, okay, if we can get Juan Soto, like, I'd give up Bo Bichette for that. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been very good. Can you imagine giving up Bo Bichette for what Juan Soto's doing, like, right now? Hasn't been great. Would rather take Septembo, Bo. I don't even know how to do it the other way. Bo-tober. That's October.
Just stay tuned for Bo-tober.
Yeah, stay tuned for Bo-tober. I just think, you know, the fact that, as you said, Ailish, the fact that he could shake off that close call, he did say after the game, like, he slammed his bat and whipped it away because, like, the pitch scared him. Like, how does it not? I think my reaction after you realize that he didn't get hit in the face was, can you imagine if he, like, tore a hammy or quad just from the drop, too?
Yeah, it was a whole lot of scariness.
It's just like, don't like that.
He dropped it low. He dropped it low. I think he hit a couple last night.
Like, Bo just dropped it low. Once you knew that it was okay, it's like, wow.
It was super impressive.
Yeah, like, he went down, would win a limbo contest for sure. Very impressive flexibility.
Limbo. Yeah.
What did I just say?
Well, you didn't specify that it was
Bo. Oh, limbo. Limbo. Oh, I was like, did I not say limbo?
Limbo.
Yeah, gotta enunciate. That's my bad. I'll own that one. But yeah, I just thought, you know, he worked the count. Mm-hmm. And again, to go back to when he just comes up to the plate, I don't know if I expected. It's so weird. Bo Bichette walks up to the plate and you can kind of just think like, yeah, he could win this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just understand it. Like, you just get it. That's something. And it sounds like a silly thing to say, but it's like, yeah, like, he could probably win this game right here for the Blue Jays. And there's that quiet confidence when you're watching Bo Bichette walk up to the plate right now, because he is seeing the ball so well. Mm-hmm. He's hitting everything. Again, against one of the best closers, or not closers, excuse me, relievers, and Jason Adam. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I will say, I thought when, I thought this, it was the second out, so the third pitch, I thought that was a ball. Like, that was not over the plate.
But it set him up for a position.
But it set him up for his
ready.
For his two strike kind of setup. Mm-hmm. And my question is, why is Jason Adam not just walking Bo Bichette? First was open, and you have Alejandro Kirk next in the batting order, mm-hmm. and he went 0-for-4. Why?
It's certainly why? A very large question mark if you're a Tampa Bay Rays fan and you're watching that. If you're anybody that has a brain, really. Bo Bichette is the hottest player in baseball. He just set a Blue Jays franchise 24 hits in 11-game span. He just won AL Player of the Week. He's automatic. He's homering. He's knocking every Blue Jays run. Yeah, mm-hmm. yesterday it was Bo Bichette 3, Tampa Bay Rays 2.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was, I don't know. If I was watching Jordan Romano and he was going up against somebody of Bo Bichette's caliber and he didn't walk Bo Bichette, we would be having that same conversation this morning. We'd be very frustrated, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to know the player you're up against, but
I'm looking at the pitch count, you know, with the pitch chart in Shai Davidi's piece that posted after the game last night on sportsnet.ca. The first pitch was actually probably the best one for Bo. Like, it was closer, right up the middle. Mm-hmm. The fifth pitch, Bo got swinging on. And the seventh one, like, the last, we're not, like, you know, Jason Adam didn't throw up, like, a perfect lob straight down the strike zone. But it was close enough for Bo Bichette mm-hmm. to knock it out of the park. Well, not out of the park, Jesus.
Well, it was.
Over. Yeah.
Randy Arozarena's face when he went up
great.
To get that ball. and it just sneaks right over.
Yeah.
He's like squatted down, like, what are we doing here?
And
like,
Jason Adams' face, he knew. Yeah,
he knew as soon as
he knew immediately that he made a big mistake.
Well,
there was some
frustration. Yeah. John Schneider in that post-game clip saying, like, he has so much say and so much power over that strike zone anyway that it didn't really matter in a sense that, like, that wasn't the perfect pitch. He found a way. It's really amazing to see. I think everybody in the text line, especially this morning woke up with a reinvigoration that this team is going to be led by Bo Bichette into the postseason. Things are heating up well. Roger from the 905 said, without Bo, this team would have been out of a playoff spot. Imagine if Springer and Vladdy heat up. And I think that's a really great point. Not that I'm looking for ways to question this team right now, but you're right, Roger. If Springer and Vladdy and Teo and Kirk can find a way to elevate and be consistent, this team is at another level. And I think Buck Martinez in the call last night after Bo, you know, gives the Blue Jays a lead, is like, how can you not believe in this team? Mm-hmm. And it's so right, because we have not believed in this team at times, and they've seen these flashes where you're like, this team was World Series contenders.
You believe in certain versions of the Blue Jays.
100%.
Right?
And preseason, everybody believed in this team. On paper, they are the team that can make it to that big dance. And we've seen flashes of them this year, and that's been the most frustrating, I believe, as a fan, because when they're there and the players are clicking, they can be the best team in baseball. And so Bo Bichette right now, check mark, looking great. Obviously, Jordan Romano, once again, lights out. Mm-hmm. He just feels automatic. It's almost like, hey, great idea to tie it up late in the game. So you get Romano in there and you close. Like,
well, there's just, quickly it changes, right? 100%. The Stars showed up when they needed to. All of a sudden, you go from being down 2-1, Bo Bichette, 2-run home run, and then you've got Jordan Romano coming in to save the game, and he's second in the MLB in around in saves, closers, 33 saves, second behind Emmanuel Clase from the Guardians. Really impressive stuff. Like, the Stars in that regard showed up. I never want to be the person that's looking for areas of improvement. Like, I don't want to be that person here, but I hear from the text line, imagine what happens when Springer and Vladdy heat up. I'm waiting for that, and I'm sure a lot of people are, because I think you look at it in the glass half full and say, this is great, look at Bo Bichette, and once the other guys start heating up as well, this team's gonna be unstoppable. But you need those guys to start heating up. It can't. I love the Bo show. That was a fun end of the game. It's great. He's one of the hottest bats in baseball right now. But it can't just be Bo Bichette dragging this team to victories as frequently as it is, as fun and awesome as it is. Feels like we can't really
it takes a team, right?
You need
to make it to the October finale that you want, to be the team that wins the last game of the season. And that's what the Blue Jays want. I will say that I give someone like a Barrios credit last night, because he went six and a third. He did what he needed to do to give the Blue Jays an opportunity to win the game. I wouldn't say that it was his best performance. I wouldn't say it was his worst performance. It was just good enough that it allowed for the bullpen to not have to overextend themselves going into a doubleheader today, which is a very rare occurrence for the Blue Jays. They're going to really need to have some rested arms, because it's a Mitch White finale of the day, I believe. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be two bullpens against each other.
Yeah.
You have Manoah starting the day today, which is just another type of must win, and you feel massive confidence with Manoah. So for Barrios to extend his game as much as that, as much as he was able to, big credit to him. Mm-hmm. The story, obviously, is the Bo Bichette story, but there was a lot of team effort, including what Barrios did, but the team being able to find a way down, once again having another comeback win. The Blue Jays have been one of the best teams in baseball this season, statistically, at finding a way to win from behind. And that's what's going to have to be clutch come October, come playoff season, because if you get down, you need to have that confidence level that we've done this 34 times so far this season. We found a way to win. And that might be just on one player, like, to be able to make that hit. But for your pitchers to be consistent, for your bullpen to be able to avoid a blow up. I feel like they positioned themselves really well for today.
It takes guys like Tapia getting on base too, right? He gets
very
on base.
Underrated, yes.
Yeah, he gets on base. He steals, which was also great.
Yeah.
Loved that. We were just talking about that yesterday with Ben Nix-Smith on the show. Mm-hmm. You know, doing things. Who doesn't love watching guys steal bases? Here's some new rules that are going to make that happen more.
It's true.
Didn't need the rule change. Tapia did not. But, you know, it takes him getting on base, stealing. Bo hits the homer, two-run home run. I mean, it's little things like that. And I agree with you. I thought, you know, the pitching performance was good. I thought, you know, it'll be really interesting the way that this game set up the Blue Jays to be stronger at that position and have that be a real position of strength against the Rays for the rest of the series. I mean, Monday did not help a pretty beaten up Rays bullpen.
Yeah, they used 10 different pitchers.
Right, and they had a difficult series against the Yankees.
Last couple of games, yep.
So they're coming in after that series against the Yankees, used 10 pitchers. I mean, the Rays are going into a doubleheader against the Blue Jays.
Who are more well-rested with one of the best pitchers that you feel consistent with starting today.
Right, so the Rays are starting, it looks like, Jeffrey Springs. And then Mitch White's going to anchor the Toronto relievers against the Tampa bullpen. I mean, on paper,
that one feels to me like a bonus tonight. I think if you start today with a dominant win, you're up 2-0 in the series. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone has a massive confidence in another kind of Mitch White start with him being almost like an opener with a bunch of question marks.
But if the Rays relievers are
that's the little bit
gassed,
of an edge that I have.
Hey, wait a second. I know the bullpen game wasn't great on Sunday, but you know, this is why
this
you
is
do something like that.
You can't
avoid
it.
Of course, but I think you have that game so you can set yourself up with this kind of rotation. And I think it's early. It's still one game. We've got to see these games actually be played. But on paper, it looks like the Jays have set themselves up pretty well. And Monday, again, did not help the Rays bullpen. Which is good if you are a Blue Jays fan.
Big time.
Obviously.
And it's Looney Dogs. So, obviously the energy in the stadium is going to be top notch.
Are they good hot dogs?
They're Looney Dogs. They're small little.
Should I not have asked question? Is
I've
that a
gone
party
in
foul?
On the, I know, no. I am, I would say, the world's foremost supporter of Looney Dogs Tuesdays. I believe I have been single-handedly maybe boosting the sales by 10% for the morning show. Yeah, I feel very proud of my stance as a Looney Dog correspondent.
Ambassador.
Yeah, honestly, sponsor me Schneider's hot dogs. Anyway, Definitely. That's a big day today for fans. The early 1 o'clock start is really fun. No one go to work and kids don't go to school because, you know, why not? It's Tuesday, September 13th.
You?
Who cares? You just started your semester. You're not learning
baseball
anything.
In September. Priorities.
Exactly.
People.
If you're a kid today, you're just still doing preliminary back to school work.
Orientation week.
Yes,
you're getting
exactly.
the syllabus.
You're
fine.
You're telling me you're headed down to
I don't think
U of T
second
today.
Second graders are getting a syllabus.
The second graders maybe need to go. You're telling
college
me
students,
U of T
you don't have
student
to go to
today is learning too much. Yeah. You're just going through. You're meeting your teachers. It's not worth it. Go
Get
see
your
the Blue
readings
Jays.
Online.
Go see the Blue Jays when it matters. September baseball. It's going to be electric there today. I will say another thing that I loved about that game last night was the playoff vibe. The coaches jawing at each other. Mm-hmm. There was this level of elevated incentive to really put a staple on the type of energy you're showing. Mm. Every single call matters. Every single count matters. Every single mistake that umpires are going to make, which it will happen, matters. I thought it was awesome to see the coaching staff laying into each other. This is what you're living for is important baseball in September and October. If you're led by your manager and your manager can put a little bit of oomph in it, that's inspiring. I'm not asking for there to be brawls, but Bo Bichette got hit, almost got decapitated.
Right.
Next pitch up, inning, Barrios hits a pitcher. Obviously, none of this was on purpose. You're
it's
not going to hit.
It's just bad timing,
bad
right?
Timing.
It's a 2-1 baseball game. You're not going to go and intentionally hit a guy.
Especially
when you're
their eighth
Right. Who's eighth in the batting order. Like, you're not doing that.
There was no question about either of those hits being intentional. But the warning, I get it. Like, okay, guys, let's just let this breathe. But the fact that the Rays bench was thinking that Barrios did that on purpose. Like,
why would he do that?
Yeah, he would probably wait till the top of the order and then nail someone not in the butt. Like, yeah. Anyway, just the stupid, I mean, yeah. Obviously there's no validity to it, but no. Energy from the coaching staff, the fan base got into it, really late into the game with some energy, I would say, was kind of quiet throughout the first, you know, six innings. Mm-hmm. Cooper Criswell, who we literally did not know thing about him.
Apologize to Cooper Criswell?
Well, Chris Criswell or Cooper Crispo.
Cooper? Did I call him Chris Criswell?
I think I did.
Oh.
That would be an interesting name. But yeah, I think everybody thought, well, who's this guy? Like, yeah. He's his second ever major league game. He had no stats.
No.
He
comes
nobody
up
knew
from
anything
AAA,
about him. Comes
and
up
just
from
carves him up.
That was certainly an interesting way to start the game. I thought, boy, we're going to get...
Our techs were like, wait a second.
Yeah. Who's this guy? He's like a 7-foot monster.
What just happened?
Baby face, just getting into his rhythm. But he looked great. We'll give him credit for that until, you know, he got pulled in the third. And that actually, once again, led to them having to play a lot more pitchers, which is great for the Blue Jays. So I just thought that everything lined up really well down the stretch for the Blue Jays fans this morning should feel confident just in terms of the next couple of days against the Rays, setting themselves up in a really good position. I see the text line is feeling very much the same. Rich in Burlington. Is it October 31st? Because he's the candy man right now.
Ooh-hoo. Good one.
Okay, Rich.
Yeah.
Matt in Dundalk. I love when people text in from little city, like little towns, and I look at
where's everyone from Fergus, Ontario right now?
There are some Fergus, Ontario texters that do tune in, so maybe they'll... Are you from Fergus?
I am from Fergus.
Okay, where's Haley's family and friends text in?
Yeah, why aren't you listening?
He goes, are you like... Octobo sounds way better, yeah.
Yeah.
Or October.
No. Octobo makes the most sense. Just a... I think looking at, I know we already talked about Barrios quite a bit, but again, just looking at, again, the contrast to the pitchers used by the Rays and having this doubleheader come up and 5 games in 4 days, eight this week. Barrios going six innings, great. You want that length for obvious reasons. Then Garcia only had one inning pitched. Mm-hmm. And then Romano comes in.
It's perfect.
It's exactly what you want from the Blue Jays.
You couldn't have scripted really a better.
It wasn't a perfect start
pitching day
by Barrios. Mm-hmm.
No problem.
Wasn't perfect,
I'm happy
but
with
he
it.
Did.
Well, we've seen much worse Jose Barrios.
Yeah.
I think that people should feel a little bit assured that he's found at least a rhythm that isn't so up and down that he can maintain a bit. I feel like there's just a lot of positivity around this team, obviously, with Bo Bichette. Hopefully the
vibes are good.
The other teams, the other players can continue to elevate and find that consistency. We did give away that free pick about a Bo Bichette home run.
I'm so
we do
annoyed.
Have a thank you in the text line for that.
Really?
No,
you're welcome.
They listen.
You
Jeff from Oakville. I followed your advice and sprinkled a little on Bo Bichette hitting a home run. Thank you. No problem, Jeff.
Amazing. I didn't take my own advice yesterday. I waited until I got home from the show. I waited a little bit. I had a couple meetings after, probably around 1 o'clock. I went in.
The line had moved.
The line moved.
They're listening, the folks, to the Wake and Rake.
It's like, thanks, but also.
Unibet's listening. They go, oh, no, they're giving away free money here.
Yeah. Well, it got a little dicey. I was like, was it free money?
That's right.
Did I just. So I ended up putting $20 on Bo Bichette.
And you did it.
One and a half
Proud
hits.
Of you.
And I was. Incredibly excited.
I lost a lot of money in the Broncos Seahawks game, which we need to get to next.
Yeah.
But I just want to say that Kyle from Fergus just texted in about October baseball. So Kyle from Fergus,
from
you
Fergus?
Know him? Are you related?
Kyle, can you? What's your last name?
maybe just
I was
going to
say what high school did you
that.
Go to, but there's only one high school. Oh. So if you went to high school in Fergus, I know what high school you went to.
You guys could have been classmates. Okay, so you won money on Bo Bichette. I lost money on the pathetic Broncos experience last night. I don't even know how to begin to put that final play into words. It was absolutely shocking to decide to do a 64-yard kick, a field goal, to try to win the game instead of putting the ball in the hands of the
$240 million
quarterback that you signed,
yeah,
who had already thrown for 340 yards, to ask him to throw five more yards. Yet you go with a guy who
also
has
another,
missed a lot
nice
of
little bet line. Sorry, Bill. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was no. As I said yesterday, if he doesn't throw over 300 yards, it'd be disappointing.
Yeah,
he did what he had to do. He had 5 yards to give them an opportunity to win this game. Mm-hmm. And you decide to go with a 62 or 64, yep, too high of a number.
64-yarder.
It would be the second. It's only been completed 2 times in football.
And that kicker's never done that in game.
Never.
He's got a leg. Like, he could probably kick 70 in
He's
practice,
also my
but
kicker
this is
on
a game.
The, on my fantasy football
yeah,
team.
So I saw a stat. He's never, no, he never. Hasn't hit that
Nobody
yardage.
Has. Second longest in history.
Yeah, what are we doing here? Did they think that it was a 39-yarder? Was there just a mistake?
No.
There was a couple of things about the Broncos game from the Denver side that was really strange, mm-hmm, yesterday night. And even just on that play, I mean, they wasted like 45 seconds.
The clock management,
it was bad.
Was abysmal.
40
Shocking.
Seconds ticked down before the timeout to then trot out your kicker again. And it was, it's not even that they just, I'm very annoyed about this, clearly. They didn't just pay Russell Wilson $240 million. They also traded like a couple years worth of draft picks for this guy. What are we doing? And especially when we think of, you know, some of the reports about Russell Wilson wanting out of Seattle because they wouldn't let him cook. didn't look like he was cooking in this thing here. I think that was the most egregious example of the errors that happened for the Denver Broncos last night. Like, the operation of the Broncos offense was weird. The play clock running down a lot. There was a couple delay of game penalties. The offense didn't look clean.
It just looked so unprepared.
It was just, there was a lot, like, behind the line of scrimmage, too. It wasn't a clean offense. I don't know if this was just the coach and the quarterback trying to get to know each other. I heard this last night. I was listening to
That's what you do
a
in
podcast.
The preseason. You don't waste your first game
right.
of the season by
trying
making
to feel each other out.
Outrageous like, calls and outrageous decisions, especially in a game with that magnitude. It's Russell Wilson versus old team. Like,
I do think it takes some time. Like, the relationship between a coach and a quarterback does take some time. Mm-hmm. Like, you look at, and it's obviously a really extreme example, but if you're Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, like, you're just running out there and you're going for it. There isn't even a conversation. Because there's an understanding there and a trust level, and they just know each other and what they want to go for.
Mm-hmm.
It's a first-year coach and a quarterback.
No, I don't think he's going to be coaching there for very long if he does this type of stuff.
It's weird. There was weird play calling. It was just a really strange game for the Broncos. One stat that I found, 38.4% of Russell Wilson's passes yesterday were 5 or more yards. That ranks 29th among the 20 or 32 quarterbacks that started this weekend. That is not good. In comparison, over the previous 5 seasons, Russell Wilson had a 60%, you know, pass over 5 yard rating, which was 8th in the NFL. So we can either look at this as, oh God, he's about to fall off a cliff, or this is just a blip. Russell Wilson is going to get back and elevate his game once there's maybe a little bit more familiarity there. Maybe they figure out the offense a bit. Because it took Tom Brady a bit of time. The offense in Tampa in his first season wasn't great. They were trying to go for long bombs, running the ball. There wasn't a lot of like Tom Brady-esque quarterbacking going on early when he started with the Bucks. So if you believe in Russell Wilson, they'll probably figure it out. Maybe I'm just very positive this morning. Not really
I'm
sure.
Not positive about that experience. I mean, I will say that Russell Wilson, he He did go for 340 yards and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And there was two goal line fumbles from Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams.
And like, that's not his fault, right?
That's just simply unacceptable.
The ones he's throwing way over them or they're off target, for sure. But goal line fumbles?
Two of them.
Russell Wilson's fault, right?
No, and that is, as I said, not simply right. unacceptable. If you're a Broncos fan, you just sit away and you think those were two opportunities once again to win the game. Plus the questionable isn't even the right word. The incorrect decision to go with the massive field goal to win the game. I just think that there's so much to circle from that game that a little bit of a different decision can make such a significant result. But so much credit needs to go towards Geno Smith. Did anybody, I don't think anybody's sitting here being like, oh, I knew Geno Smith was going to give that type of performance. It was the first time he ever started a game in 8 years. He was everything and more that the Seahawks mm-hmm. would have hoped for.
Absolutely.
Two touchdowns, no interceptions for Geno Smith. I just think if you're a fan base, you watched 12 straight completions, two touchdowns in the first half before mm-hmm. the Broncos defense like could figure it out. He gave them every opportunity to make that game a staple game.
Yeah.
Specifically from a guy that has faced a lot of difficulties in his career.
A really long path, right?
He's filling the hole that Russell Wilson left. And we talked about this yesterday, you know, who's got the most to prove or who's got the upper hand. Maybe he kind of went in with the pressure isn't on him. I don't think the pressure was on Geno Smith yesterday. I think everybody expected the Seahawks to drop this game.
I saw some people going out and saying like, oh yeah, like, oh, the Broncos are going to beat them by double digits. Mm-hmm. Geno Smith is terrible. And we said it yesterday too, like, maybe the Seahawks are seeing something in this guy that maybe they're just smarter than everybody. And a lot of the commentary coming out of Seattle pregame and preseason, et cetera, was we've got our guy. We've got our guy. Like, we believe in him. Mm-hmm. Nobody listened. Because again, we didn't have the stats to look at and say, yeah, you're right. Maybe he is the guy. But clearly they saw something in Geno Smith and the vibe out of Seattle yesterday was, we told you so. Like, you read some of the stats, but, mm-hmm. you know, he started the game with 13 straight completions, ended the first half 17 of 18, and Seattle had a 4-point lead going in intermission. Like, that, no big deal. We knew he could do this. Mm-hmm. Not a big deal. He's our guy. We told you this was going to happen, and he went out and did it. And, you know, DK Metcalf had a nice quote. You know, he's had it in it the whole time. He just hasn't had the perfect opportunity for him to go out there and showcase what he's able to do when he's in full control of a football team or an offense. So maybe the Seattle Seahawks have unlocked something in Geno Smith. And we talk about storylines and we talk about things you want to root for. I mean, after 9 seasons in the NFL, that's a nice story. Like, can you imagine how that must have felt for him? In this big revenge game, mm-hmm. it's all about Russell Wilson coming back to Seattle. The atmosphere was wild. I think going to a game in Seattle looks like it'd be a ton of fun. We know the fans booed Russell Wilson, and I'm sure we can get into that too. But going into that atmosphere, going into the game where everyone's talking about how's Russell Wilson going to take down his own team? And nope, it's Geno Smith coming in and showing people, hey, you guys wrote me off, but you probably shouldn't have. It's one game. I don't want to be crazy here.
This is what he said, actually. It was awesome. He came in with like straight bars in his post-game interview.
Did you hear the Geno chants? How'd that make you feel?
Oh, no, I love those fans, man. Thank you, Seattle.
So for the folks you said had written you off, maybe, what did they say to them?
Yeah, they wrote me off. I ain't right back, though. That's the problem. I ain't right back. Let's go.
All right. Congratulations.
They wrote me off, but
love that.
I don't write back.
I wouldn't write back either. Return to sender.
the contrast between Russell Wilson's entrance with the boos, which I thought it was just disappointing. Come on.
Do you he's been everything. Anything he was everything, else, though?
I actually did.
But he wanted out, and the Seahawks made that very clear, like the front office did. Like, they came out very quickly and made it clear. Like, we didn't kick him out. He wanted to leave. And I think they did. I mean, I don't think the front office did that to turn Russell Westbrook in. I just.
Yeah, I got that in your head.
Oh, no. Russell Wilson into the villain here. But they also did it to take the blame off themselves. Like, we didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. He wanted out, and the fans knew that. And they were like, you left us. You didn't want to be here. Good luck coming back. I don't agree with booing him, but I can understand why a rowdy crowd like that would do it. Like, we've got our guy. You wanted to leave.
He basically now did everything for that Seahawks franchise. He brought him the only Super Bowl in franchise history. If you look at everything he did in his career there, obviously he'll be the best quarterback in Seattle franchise history.
Mm-hmm.
Playoff appearances, almost won a second Super Bowl.
Yep.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer. I thought there would just be a little bit more respect.
We wanted that to happen. But again, when if you're a fan base, like, he left us, like, okay, now you're the enemy now, I guess. It was a game. It was week one. It's a big game. It's a big storyline rivalry game. It's not like it was
clearly worked for them.
And it's not like it was the Russell Westbrook is retiring. Let's say goodbye. Oh my goodness.
The struggle is real.
Why is this happening?
I said it once.
It's not the big retirement, let's all say goodbye, mm-hmm, before he never plays here again. So I don't agree with it. I would never say go and boo the guy who did a whole lot for your organization. But
and he did so much for Seattle. Like, he was a standout citizen, mm-hmm, in the city of Seattle. He visited the Children's Hospital every single Tuesday during, mm-hmm, each season. He had a charity foundation with Sierra. He won the Walter Payton Award,
yep,
for his contributions off the field. Maybe I'm just...
No, I get it. I don't agree. I wouldn't show up to a game like that and start booing him. I would not. I'm just trying
to. Maybe got in his head.
Maybe. I think it's interesting. I just found a quote post-game. He actually agreed with the decision.
Well, what's he going to say? I hate this fan base.
He's not somebody. I mean, no, he agreed with the decision to kick the field goal.
Oh,
not that they booed him.
The booing.
Yeah. You know what? It's fine. I actually appreciated it.
Well,
I think they should boo me more often.
What's he going to say about that? Like, I thought I should have.
No.
He can't question his coach. But
no.
I mean, I think.
We've seen people frustrated with calls. Aaron Rodgers was screaming at everybody.
Yeah, but he didn't say anything post-game to the reporters because he knows better.
He just did it on national TV with the Zoom so everyone can dissect it. Wilson said we've got the best kicker maybe in the game. We got there. Unfortunately, it didn't go in. I believe in Coach Hackett. I believe in what we're doing. I believe in everything. I don't think it was the wrong decision.
I don't take any
maybe
stock
he believes,
into that.
I don't know if he believes that. Obviously, he was the second choice with the season opener on the line, which isn't great, but maybe the conversations behind closed doors are a little different. But it probably is really important for the organization, at least in a public-facing way, for your shiny new $245 million quarterback to say he's okay with the coach in week one. Because I think that would be a little bad if he came out and said, like, this is a disaster.
100%.
He is terrible. Duh.
I think he's too much of a professional to know, like, the weight of his words in that situation.
Right.
He's
a veteran. He knows people are listening when he has something to say. So.
I will say that the pressure is on Hackett now. Like, it is just, it's palpable. His post
already?
Yeah. His post game, if you watched his podium, man, the guy was sweating. He was panting into the mic because he knew that, like, that decision, I don't know if any other coach, like, would have been confident. Like, I was just shocked, and I can't say it enough how strange that was. But he seemed like he really doubled down on it, said, I never once thought about not going for the kick. It's like, I don't
Which
know
is weird.
Your game
and
plan.
Pete Carroll even said, like, we were surprised. Like, we weren't thinking field goal. We were thinking it was fourth down. They were still going.
If you watch the Manning cast, oh my God, the two of them were like, what are they doing? What are you doing? Like, it was shocking.
Is this just like a rookie coach being like, I got this. You know what? I have a really good idea.
Well, what Brian Daboll did on the weekend, and he went for it, and he decided to go for two, and it ended up being the right decision. Maybe he was inspired by that gutsy move, but it didn't work. I mean, obviously, if it had worked, we'd be having a completely different
conversation. Yeah, we'd be like, this kicker's amazing, this coach,
the coach
I was thinking,
made a
what's
great
happening?
Call.
But you know what? You're really smart. Because Russell Wilson had the stat line to back up, you know, starting quarterback, making $245 million. He looked the part for the most part of that game, but I do think there are probably some questions. Like, when you think of Russell Wilson in his prime and when you think of everything that he's been successful with, you think he's the big play guy. He's really good out of the pocket. He's very athletic. I don't know if we saw that Russell Wilson completely yesterday. Like, we didn't see the big play. We didn't see, obviously, we didn't get a chance to see the big play at the end, again, because he was the second choice with the season opener on the
Instead
line.
Of let Ross cook, it was let Russ look. That's what people were tweeting. Smart.
It's like, did you just come up with that on your own? That was really creative.
Twitter.
But yeah, I don't know. I think we can have that conversation probably later in the show. We've got Gary Gramling coming on 7:30. Probably ask him.
And lots more.
What he saw about Russell Wilson?
Yeah, I have lots of questions for him. And we got lots more.
We have questions.
Yeah, that's right. Lots more Blue Jays Rays discussion. John Morosi at 7 and former MLB pitcher Brian Anderson joins us at 8. But let's move to more positive with the A-List. That's next on the Fan Morning Show with Haley and Ailish, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
We're back on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. It's Haley Salvian and myself. This lovely Tuesday morning. It's usually text line Tuesday. Didn't even have to ask. You guys are already texting in. But keep coming. 590 at 590. Today, lots of good bow puns floating around.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable is exactly how Bo Bichette has burst on the scene in this September. We're going to talk to John Morosi after the break. Hopefully he can put some clarity into how this is stacking up against great performances he's seen this season. I know there's been some red hot players, but is Bo the best in baseball? We'll get into that after the A-List.
Now it's time for the A-List.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
This was a spicy topic in NHL land yesterday. I know there's not been much coming out. Been quiet, but the Montreal Canadiens named 23-year-old Nick Suzuki the next captain of the Montreal Canadiens. Shea Weber, obviously, no longer part of this team. There was some drama. People thinking that he's too young. People thinking that he does not speak French, which has been a very important asset of the Montreal Canadiens, like almost like a requirement, I believe, throughout the last century of their existence. That's part one of the Twitter drama that was prevalent. But they announced on the iconic Montreal Canadiens jersey that they would be putting a company logo, a multi-year partnership with RBC, right on the front of the jersey. Across from where the shining C was placed on Nick Suzuki's jersey is a equally large RBC logo. And now it's going to be rolled out, the jersey advertising program across the league. It was met with a lot of resistance, a lot of criticism from Canadiens fans, NHL fans alike. This is the first of many, or the first significant, I would say, step in that direction. Do we like this? Do we understand that it's the world we live in? Are you fine with it? Do you hate it?
honestly, I didn't even notice the logo when I first looked at the picture of Nick Suzuki with the C.
Well, that's good then.
I know why people don't like it. I understand it. I don't personally have a huge problem with it. I don't care. I understand it's an iconic jersey logo, etc., with the Montreal Canadiens. Just, there was such an uproar about the helmet ads. And
the helmet
for
ads
one
does
day,
not mean anything to me.
And then it disappeared. I didn't notice it. I didn't care. As long as the jerseys aren't turning into the jerseys from...
like the SPHL.
Pro league. Yeah, like the Danish Professional League or... I don't know why. I'm sorry, Denmark. I was just there. Yeah. It comes to mind. As long as it's not turning into a massive billboard, I don't care. I don't care.
I think there should definitely be some restrictions.
Yeah, like don't make it too big. Don't make them ugly logos. Or do, because it's kind of funny. Do you think they're all going to be right there on the crest? Like, why couldn't it have been on the back or something?
I thought maybe a shoulder patch. A shoulder patch would be fine.
Why is it directly across from the C? I don't love the placement, I will say that. Like, put it up on the shoulder. Because the Canadians don't have anything up there.
That's
right. I know the Flames have the little blasties on the shoulder pads, depending, sometimes.
Blasties.
I love Blasty. It's a great logo. My dad, for Christmas last year when I was in Calgary, said, can you get me one of those horse sweaters? Oh. It's like, what are you talking about? I live in Alberta. You're going to need to be more clear.
Horse sweaters.
A sweater with just like some wild horses on it, you know? Or are we talking Blasty? Anyways, I don't understand why it's there. Now I'm looking at it again and I think
you're
that looks...
You're starting to not like it, eh?
I still don't really care, but I think that looks weird. Put
tough,
it somewhere
tough
else.
Tough placement, for sure.
Why can't we put them on like the pants?
I bet there will be one day.
When will it end?
It won't. I don't know.
This
Haley.
Is why people are upset about
it's
it.
Escalating.
It's a gateway advertisement.
That's right. Text in 590-590 if you care about the ads on the jerseys. I will say that they announced for fans, if you're going to purchase a jersey at the arena or from the fan website, you have the option to add the RBC logo. I think most people will be declining that option. I don't need a... reminder of my mortgage payment every time I wear a fan's jersey to the stadium. Chris and Thornton texted in. No issues with ads on the jerseys for game-worn jerseys. Don't think that they should be on the retail versions for fans. I don't want to be walking ad for RBC when I'm cheering. Exactly.
That's, what if there's like, do you think I think if McDonald's or something kind of funny had an ad, I would probably, I just think it's kind of, no? Where are we at with that?
Nah.
Is there a logo that is so great that you're like, yeah, I'll buy that?
I'll think about it. I don't know. Probably not McDonald's. Yeah, let me know. 590-590. It was polarizing yesterday. People just like to argue, though. So
yeah, I didn't love the Nick Suzuki doesn't speak French hate. I get it.
He's got lots of time to learn. He's 23.
And he said he was taking French classes all summer.
Yeah, on like Babbel or something.
Hey. Rosetta Stone, Duolingo.
He'll be tested at one point this season to speak French, and we will.
I think because it's important for the French speaking media to have the captain be able to speak to them post game. I get it. Same reason why you want French speaking coach and French speaking general manager. I just think some of the let's not attack Nick Suzuki.
I agree.
It's not his fault. Well. He could learn French.
He's got time.
He's fine.
One last one here before we get into John Morosi after the break. The Dodgers on Sunday beat the Padres 11-2, and everybody, including Major League Baseball, believed that they had clinched the first playoff spot of the season. And there was tweets, there were stories. Dodgers back in the postseason for the 10th straight years. The Dodgers tweeted out that they're the first to clinch a playoffs spot. The actual organization, the MLB, everybody believed that they were handed out hats with the postseason logo on them. They had a massive celebration. And then it turns out that they made a mistake, and they hadn't actually clinched yet. An internal error, Major League Baseball announced They didn't really consider the set of tiebreakers that could actually happen. Obviously, like, they won last night, so they did clinch. But they popped the champagne a little early. They handed out these hats. They celebrated. And whoops, they didn't actually get into the postseason until today. Just funny that Major League Baseball could screw up something that is, like, legitimately their job.
That's so
and
funny.
Their profession.
Yeah, I'm seeing there's a tweet. Magic number to advance is one. So what's happening here? What is it?
No, they've clinched now.
6 hours ago. I'm confused.
How many times are they celebrating here?
They just want to keep partying.
I think that the Dodgers have certainly earned the opportunity to celebrate.
Like, I'm sure
this.
They're going
to
make the
But nobody
playoffs.
Seems to know if they've actually clinched or not. They have these hats and they have no idea if they're in or not.
Yeah, so they win. And then after the game, there is a tweet. The magic number to advance is one. So they're still not
they're still
in the
not.
Playoffs.
They're
just bring champagne
they jump the
to
gun.
Every game.
They jump the gun.
I respect that. If they just want to keep celebrating, go ahead.
Good for them. Two more texts before we take a break. I think they own the boards. Leave the jerseys out of it. They also own the ice. It's not like we can't see advertising all over the place. The jersey is pure. That's Ryan from Fergus.
Hey. Yeah. But also, the ads are everywhere, so what's one more?
Different sport, but the OVO logo on the Raptors jersey would be well-received, Rich. Yeah, I think that's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, except if you're
Maybe
someone
it's
who's
a
like...
bank, and I'm just like, I don't care, RBC.
Yeah, RBC.
Like, it's OVO, and like...
Get us like a really obscure venture capitalist firm.
But the OVO logo on a Raptors jersey makes sense because of, like, Drake being the global ambassador and the way that he's, championed this organization. Yeah. And there's, like, they have the OVO day.
Yeah. I think finding advertisements that are a bit more seamless to the brand and the team is probably the ideal situation. But that's obviously a lot easier said than done. It's harder to put into practice, especially when you're talking about hockey teams who... I feel like in hockey, too, the brand of teams is very much just, it's the
You're
pure
an original
tradition.
Six.
You can't do anything. Like, is there a hockey team that's like, yeah, we've got Drake in our back pocket?
I don't believe
so. Snoop Dogg. Put Snoop Dogg's face the LA Kings logo.
Yeah, exactly.
Not the logo.
Maybe there'll be like a Snoop Day and he could do that. Justin Bieber for the Leafs, the Drew House. Maybe
you know
be a
what?
Drew
Those
House
Drew House jerseys were cool,
but like with his permanent patch
the
on there.
Oh, I would. That'd be kind of cool. I don't think.
I don't love it,
but it's better than RBC.
Is it?
A small Drew, maybe not on the right on the front, but like put it on the sleeve. Get like a nice Drew logo.
It would probably be.
That'd be kind of cool.
A Scotiabank logo at this point because they own the arena, but. They yeah, already right. own the arena. I think we get it.
Give me some creative stuff and I won't hate it so much. I also, again, I don't really care. I know that's not a fun opinion, but.
Well, keep them coming, 590, 590. Your thoughts. We're going to sprinkle in some more Bo Bichette talk after the break. Hottest player in baseball. That's our stance. Does John Morosi agree? That's next on the Fan Morning Show with Haley and Ailish, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.